Would you please stand with me? We'll sing together hymn 68, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Citizens of heaven above, glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee. Born is happy morning. O Jesus, to Thee be our glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord.
Please be seated.
Quick, what is God like? That's the question a young girl asked her newborn brother the first time she saw him in the hospital. You see, her thinking was this. She was told that her brother was a gift from God, and so he must have just arrived from heaven, and it just made sense that then he would have some inside information about God and heaven and all these kinds of things. And so the first chance she got, she figured she should ask him what he knew before he forgot. So, quick, what is God like? Well, Her newborn brother may not have been able to give her a good answer, but that's why we have the Word of God, in which God himself tells us what he's like, shows us what he's like by the things God has done throughout the history of this world he created. And there was a baby born who could answer that question because he did come directly from heaven, Jesus, and he could explain what God was like nobody else could. We learn a lot about this God through the events that we celebrate this time of year, the things captured in the birth of a baby who was given multiple names, but among them was one very significant name, Emmanuel, God with us. We learn a lot about God from this fact. He became one of us. He came to dwell among us, and he did so that we could be with him in eternity. And you know, that reveals that God is a pretty relational God, wouldn't you say? That God cares that much about having a relationship with us human beings, that he would go to all of that trouble to do what he did at Christmas. Well, this is what we're looking at today. And in so doing, I want to look at it in terms of Christmas presents. Christmas is all about the presents, right? Let's be clear, though. We're not talking about presents, okay, the kind that you put under the tree, but presence, when God is near, when he is present in a real way, okay? Important distinction. And this little play on words, is that better than the Smiley Cyrus thing that I did the other week? Is that better? Okay. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the best Christmas presents you could hope for. So, in order to really appreciate what this means, I want to take a look at, first of all, in your outline there in the bulletin, what God's presence looked like that first Christmas. All right, what does Emmanuel really mean, and what did that look like? You know, way back in the days of Job, when Job was suffering so much loss and confusion, trying to get answers from God about why all of this would be taken from him, and why, you know, what did he do to deserve this? He was wrestling, and in all that wrestling about that, he basically says to God, "Hey, God, you don't know what it's like down here. You know, you're up there in heaven where everything is fine and dandy, but you know, it's kind of a mess down here, and it hurts sometimes, and you have no idea what it's like down here." Well, you know what? Since Christmas, no one can say that to God anymore. Think of it. The God who revealed himself in pillars of fire and cloud in the Old Testament, who opened the earth to swallow up rebellious sinners, who wiped out entire army with the angel of death. When God wanted to take things to the next level of revelation about who he is, he chose to come as an infant, a human, and a pretty lowly one at that. This Emmanuel, God with us, born in as humble circumstances as we could imagine, parents were peasants, raised in obscurity. He knew nothing of earthly power and influence. He'd never lived in a palace like earthly rulers were expected to. Wouldn't you expect God in the flesh to be a little more impressive? Evidently, a lot of people in his day did. Many people thought there's no way that he could be the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. You know, that this Messiah, this Christ, this Savior that had generations had been praying and waiting for, there's no way he could be a poor, simple carpenter's son. No way. And yet when this Jesus leaned over and looked into the eyes and took the hand of the disabled, the blind, the condemned, they felt the love and the healing power of Almighty God through him. Anyone who really wanted to know what God was like just had to look into the face of Jesus, and they saw love and power and pure goodness. Think of this too. You know, when God in the Old Testament revealed himself in things like fire and brimstone, well, that's power. That's power, all right. And you know, who is going to resist that? You can't. But there's something, someone as unassuming as Jesus, he was much easier to resist and to reject. And many people did. Many people walked away from him and never looked back. And you know, the same dynamics are still at work today. You know, people insisting on some show of force, of power from God. And they can't seem to be able to see God in the quiet and unassuming ways that he sometimes reveals himself. Why would God reveal himself in such a vulnerable way as he did in Jesus when he walked this earth? And the only sense I can make of it is that God must value our free will so much that he wanted us to choose him, not to be forced to believe in him. You know, God refused to force us to do that. And that's quite a gamble on God's part, to make it so that we had to choose him. So, for people to really connect with God in Jesus' day and in our day, they and we need to resist the temptation to look for all those earthly kinds of power and influence and temporal glory, and be willing to see God in the humble servant that he sent to show the world what he's really like. Quick, what's God like? Well, look at Jesus. But then, of course, we know what happened to Jesus. Those who couldn't stand the thought of God being like this Jesus, they came to hate Jesus so much because this presence of God shed light on their own fake spirituality and their own pride and greed and lust for earthly power and so forth. They couldn't stand that, so they crucified him. But folks, no force in the universe can thwart what God ultimately wants to do. Amen? And so Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. So when that happened, though, this earth was left without the presence of God, right? I mean, this presence that God so miraculously brought to this earth was now gone when Jesus ascended. Emmanuel wasn't with us anymore, right? Well, not exactly. Point number two, what God's presence looks like since he left. You see, the night before Jesus was crucified, he was with his disciples in the upper room, and he spoke to them at length about the Holy Spirit, who because Jesus was leaving in the flesh, the Spirit of God would come to dwell within the very hearts of those who believed and followed Jesus. Think of this. The one who left the glories of heaven went to so much trouble and such an elaborate plan to visit this planet. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. And yet, having been here and ministered for a relatively brief time, he says this in that upper room. He says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." Good that Jesus is going away? How could that be good? I mean, can you imagine how unbelievable that would be to the ears of the disciples? How could it be good that Jesus was leaving them? Folks, it could only be good if something better than his physical presence would come in his place. And as impossible as that was for those hearing these words to fathom, that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Something better than having him right here in the flesh was coming. Well, the next day after Jesus said those words, he died. But of course, he rose again. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. No more physical presence of Christ on earth. But true to his promise, at Pentecost, just days after the ascension, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with power. Thousands came to faith that day, and the church was born. And this thing that we call the church is known by a few different names in the New Testament, but one that is very, very important is this: body of Christ. Right? That's who we are, the body of Christ. You see, as great as it was that Jesus was here in the flesh, that he became Emmanuel, God with us, for those few years that he was on the planet, as great as that was, and as confusing as it must have been to many that he would leave, folks, here was his plan all along, that his followers, Christians, you and me, that we would be, by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we would live out Emmanuel. We would be the hands and the feet and the voice and the heart and the body of Christ in this world. We would be the presence of God to this earth. Seriously? Us? Yeah, us. And I see it when we as the church provide food for someone who has nothing to feed their children, or when we provide an oil change for a widow, or when we pay the electric bill for someone who got sick and lost their job and just can't keep up. I see it when the church brings love and encouragement to people who've been trampled by life. I see it when people tell me, "I found God here." I see it. The presence of Christ among us. Emmanuel. It's us now, folks. That's both an awesome privilege and a huge responsibility. A privilege that we get to be the way that people see God now. They see him among us. But it's a huge responsibility in that if we live in a way and have such an attitude that people aren't able to see the Lord in us, or they get some distorted picture of God from seeing us, well, that is tragic. That is very tragic. They may never meet God because of that, and it will be, as they say, their blood on our hands. Huge responsibility. But folks, this is what Christ's presence looks like since he left. The Holy Spirit living within us and shining through the church. Each of us filled with God's presence and living that presence out in our world. That's what Christ's presence looks like since he left. Well, another part of this story that we can't forget is, number three, what God's presence will look like when Christ returns. We all know that even the best Christians and the best churches sometimes don't represent Christ very well. And across the world, there are so, so many who, though they bear the name of Christ, what they do and what they stand for aren't at all driven by the Spirit of God. And I can't help but think that God gets pretty upset about that. And of course, the rest of the world that doesn't follow Christ, going its own way, chasing idols of pleasure and wealth and power, anything but God. So there's strife and bitterness and pain and brokenness and evil, lots of messes to be cleaned up. But the prophets foretold, and the New Testament writers confirmed as well, there's a day coming when this Messiah would come back. Not in the humble garb of a common peasant, but he'd come back in pure power. Not in weakness, but in power to take care of business once and for all. Look at what John says about what his presence will be like one day in Revelation 19. John says, "And I saw heaven open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Does that look a little different than how he appeared that first Christmas? Lest we get too comfortable with the image of baby Jesus and somehow conclude that he is merely meek and mild, and he's nothing to fear. He is forever this lowly peasant. Let's ponder this expression of Emmanuel, the presence of God on earth that is coming one day. He will come in power with justice and will destroy evil, and he will rule and reign undisputed forever. Are you ready for Emmanuel in that form? Will you be able to stand before him in that day? Will he recognize you as one of his own? Important questions. Even then, though, to his own, to those who love him, he will be tender, wiping away every tear, inviting us to the banquet that never ends. So, God's presence looks different at different times, but it is always good. So I hope these two words, presence and presence, stick with you. And every time you receive a present or open a present or give a present, think about that other word, the presence of God, Emmanuel. Especially if you're having difficult days, you know, like I said, sometimes Christmas is difficult for people. You may be feeling not Emmanuel, but you may be feeling God forsaken. But folks, he's here. Please, don't believe the lies of the enemy. And when he wants you to feel forsaken and alone, you are not alone. God is near. He cares. He has not forgotten you. Let me close with a clip of a flash mob. You know what that is, right? When this mob comes and they perform some song in a public place where nobody's expecting it. And that's kind of a neat thing that happens a lot these days. And in this particular one, people were coming to the mall for one kind of presence, and they got a taste of the other kind of presence. Let's see. Let's take a look.
Hearts on fire, like Isn't that wonderful? Came looking for presents and found the presents. Now, just after the filming stopped, though, federal agents broke in and arrested those involved for getting too religious in public, and they're out on bail awaiting their court date. Just kidding. But isn't it beautiful when the presence breaks in unexpectedly? Folks, let's ask God to do that again and again and again, to let the presence of God break into our world, to us and through us this Christmas. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you. There is nothing better than your presence in our lives. And Lord, that looks different at different times in history and different times in our lives, that you reveal yourself and you make yourself known in different ways. But thank you for the consistent promise that you would be with us always. You said that just before you ascended into heaven, that you would never leave us, never forsake us. You would be with us always. And I pray that your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and in our hearts would be an ever-growing reality, and that your Spirit would have ever greater freedom to make your presence known in us and through us. And Lord, just be glorified this Christmas, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand with me? We're going to close with hymn number 58, Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him now, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened the heavenly door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ is born for this. Christ is born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ is born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting all. Christ is born to save. Christ is born to save.
And now may Emmanuel, God, be with you as you go and as you celebrate Christmas gloriously for his glory. Amen.